Right, we're at Sif Yud Chet and Siman Kof Samach. Last week we learned that we discussed three kulas, the kula de Rashi of the middleman and Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveiro, which was Sif Tes Zayin, Sif Yud Zayin, the heter of Talmidei Chachamim, who lend each other food. Thank you. And we, at the end, discussed briefly Sif Yud Ches, and that is the discussion for today, the heter of Sif Yud Ches. Sif Yud Ches is a tzedakah heter, which it has to be stressed, is not a heter for Ribbis Dairaisa. Ribbis Dairaisa is not mutter for tzedakah. It's a common misconception. People think that if they say give the money to tzedakah, that there's some heter for ribbis. Actually, Geneva works that way also. People say, Tashah Geneva, I'll give the money to tzedakah. So it's not a heter to steal money if you... It's a very common misconception. People get money and they're not entitled to it, and they say, alright, I'll give it to tzedakah. Giving to tzedakah is not... People find things. Sometimes they find a dollar, and somehow, even some people think that they're mechuyev to give it to tzedakah somehow. If you find something, if you're allowed to keep it, you're allowed to keep it. If you want to give it to tzedakah, it's nice. But, you know, if you find an aveda, you're not mechuyev to give it to tzedakah. Either you keep it or you return it. But... So our discussion today has nothing to do with Ribbis Dairaisa. It only has to do with Ribbis Darabanan. And that's what it says here on Sif Yud Ches, Kol Ribbis Darabanan Mutter B'moy Shal Yisaynim. It's interesting, it says Kol Ribbis Darabanan. Any type of Ribbis Darabanan you can come up with is Mutter B'moy Shal Yisaynim Oy Shal Hegdish Aniyim Oy Tal Metayra Yitzarach Beis HaKnesses. That we did last week. V'chein Da'egim Mahak. This Kula that it's mutter to get involved in situations of ribbis derabanan if the beneficiary of the ribbis is tzedakah or hegdish or talmud torah or a shul.
The thing is,
tzedakah even for a yachid. Why shall you sign him? Is a yachid a yachid? So that's a heter. Oh, so the Rambam is going to say, I mentioned briefly last week, the Rambam explains, let's see, Afagav Yesh Machmirim, Deinim Mutter Rak Bebezin, V'Noeg L'Hakel, even though there are Machmirim that are matter to do it only through Bezdin, but we don't pass them like them, and we are Mekel. Or Shal Hegdish Aniyim, that means money with Hegdish means it's designated. It's designated for the Kedusha to set aside for Aniyim. Yesh b'kaimei shenayegin shapatrupis malva mois yisayimim beribis ktsutza. There are places where the apatrupis is the caretaker, the person who's in charge of the money of the yasim, that he lends the money of the yasim with ribis ktsutza u'minik tarasu v'ein leilach acharav. And to lend with ribis deraisa, that's a mistake. V'ein leilach acharav, that's not called a minig, and it's asr. If he becomes apostle, he has to resign. But an apotropis, someone who's in charge of Yasim's money, is allowed to lend with ribis derabanan. Now, until what age is a Yasim considered a Yasim? We had here a Jew from Eretz Yisrael who came. Rachmiel Brad, I'll remember his name. He was collecting money. He said, "Is he yasim?" His parents passed away. He had gray hair. He was a Temani Jew, a very, very varma yid. He came here and he had gray hair and these gray Temani payas. He said, "Is he yasim?" He's collecting money. So finally, once I worked up the guts, I asked him, "You walk around saying you're a yasim? What do you mean you're a yasim?" So he says, "It could be. I'm taka 60 years old, but my parents supported me until they died. So now I'm a yasim, you know, my period." He's right in the way, you know. Now he doesn't have support any. So how old is he yasim? So it says here in Shulchan Aruch, calls him actually Higdal Ayasim, Lasaik Bima'isav Kederech Shara Noshim. Until he reaches the age where he can be involved in his money in the manner of normal people, Afal Pishik Varu Ben Yud Gimel Shanim. Even if he's 13 years old, Hayo Belo Higia L'Chlal Das Mikri Yasim Linyazah. If he's not, didn't reach the point where he's mature enough to take care of his own finances, and his money therefore is in the hands of the apotropis, so he still is the awesome what?
30 watts,
okay. And that has a din of my tzedakah, lingenza. He adds, mishachayv liyisaymim, somebody owes money to yisaymim. When it comes to pay, someone who borrowed money from a yasim, and he tainis that it was ribis ktsutza, and now he wants to deduct it from his chayv, the yasim says he never got it. So that's the old rule that a yasim tanin ol yasmi, yasimim don't have to prove things, the teveya has to prove things, and he's neman. The ribis ketsutza, the borrower time is I paid ribis ketsutza, so it's on his the obligation on him to prove it against the assignment, even though normally the obligation would be on the teveya, but here that's the way it works. He has to prove that he paid ribis ketsutza.
It's ribis. How can he pay to the?
He Bezdin doesn't trust him. The man comes and he says that I gave ribis and I want to deduct it. So he has to prove it. If you want to take what you beside him, he has to prove it. What? Ein oda meisim atzmai rasha. I don't know if ein oda meisim atzmai rasha would apply here, but he's saying that I paid money for ribis ketsutza, now I don't want to pay the rest, in which case I'm not a Russia. It's a little tricky. Rabbi Kiveger has an interesting case here. The second Rabbi Kiveger, Avo Beribis the Rabbanon Shari. So Rabbi Kiveger has a case, im echad nishtatif im yisayimim v'apatrupis hilva hamois beribis mehem ba'avak ribis u'mehem b'derech etogama. There's a shutfis, Yasim's money and a regular person's money, and the money was lent, some of it for ribis derabanan and some of it for in a bayif and heter. The case would be, let's say there was $50,000 from Yasim and $50,000 from a private person. It was lent, and the borrower guaranteed half the money. So on the money he guaranteed, that's ribis derabanan. If you invest, right, that's the rule, that when you invest anything with a heter iska, with an iska. You know, sometimes people tell me someone's starting a business and they're investing money with them. There's a silent partner, the other person's a working partner, and they're 50-50 partners. They need a heter iska. So I tell them, you don't need a heter iska. You're doing an iska. That's an iska. You know, you don't have to make a contract to create an iska. That is an iska. If you're a partner in a business and you're investing half of the money and he's working, you don't need a het iska for that. That's an iska. When do you need a het iska? If you want to have some type of guarantee on your money, then it's not an iska. An iska, if you're a partner in a business, if you're a 50-50 partner, it means you have 50% liability and 50% of the profits. So that's an iska. That's not a, you don't need a het iska if something's already an iska. When a person wants to invest money and have some type of guarantee, so that's ribis. And the rule is the following. If you invest and the person guarantees both the profit and the principal, guarantees everything, then that's a loan. That's a regular loan with interest. Somebody's starting a business, I lent him money, and he guarantees the loan and the money and the profit. I'm not an owner of the business. Maybe the papers are drawn up that way to help me collect. But if he's personally liable for the money, so that's a loan. That's ribis derais. If he guarantees the principal but does not guarantee the interest, that is ribis she'ena ketsutza. That's ribis, where he's telling me that it's a loan because he's guaranteeing the principal, but there's no guarantee of profit or of interest. That is ribis derabanan. Okay, so it's simple enough if you think about it. An investment where principal and profit are guaranteed is ribis ketsutza. It's a regular loan. where principal is guaranteed and profit is not guaranteed, that's ribis derabanan. With per yasim, it's mutter to do it where you guarantee the principal and you don't guarantee the interest or for any tzedakah. Tzedakah can invest. The investor guarantees the principal, doesn't guarantee the interest. That is ribis derabanan, and that's mutter. Here, Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a case where, again, let's say $100,000 was invested. The person taking the money guaranteed half of the principal. He said, "I'll guarantee $50,000 worth of the principal, and not the other 50." Now, the Yassim had invested 50, and the private person invested 50. So, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says an interesting thing. Some of it was lent out. In other words, the apotropus now is a businessman. He does loans. He does investments. Some of his investments were done with ribis derabanan. Some were done by derech heter gamur. Yesh leimer. Dashutif yochel lito meharevach shebeheter legamri. Neged mashi itlu hayisaimi meharevach shaydei avak ribis derabanan. Dibavak ribis. They can say, okay, the money that the person, the apotropus, invested, he lent out with ribis derabanan, that goes to the assignment. The money he lent out ahead to goes to the private person. The rabbanan came along yesh bereira. Let me explain this. Let me explain this, and then you'll see why this is negeh al halacha. You're going to tell me it's never going to happen. You'll see in a minute why this is negeh. What Rabbi Akiva Eiger is saying is the following situation: you have an investor today. You have people who invest. They're not personally starting businesses. They go out and they look for good places to do deals. So they take money from many different investors, and they go out and they find a deal here, a deal there, all over the place. So the investor takes money. Rabbi Akiva Eiger's case first. So he takes money from an apotropus of Yisaimin, and he takes money from private individuals. So now he's supposed to invest this, and he's not guaranteeing anything. He's the investor. So he finds different deals. And it turns out some of his deals were ribis derabanan, some of his deals were heter. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger here is saying a chiddush. He's saying yesh bereira. What does yesh bereira mean? It means that we have a right to say that we are going to designate retroactively. We're going to designate that those loans that were made with ribis derabanan were done on the behalf of the assignment. Those loans that were investments that were made by heter gomor are on behalf of the private individuals. And therefore, everything here is beheter. And this is a saving grace in such a case. Now, where this becomes very nogea lemaisa is where an entity is created that lends money. This is a common, not so common, but it's relatively common, where an entity is created to make loans, to make straight-out loans with ribis derabanan. And the entity borrows, takes money from investors. Some of them are goyim, some of them are yidden. And it lends out money. The question we have is, it's a problem. The Jewish investor who lends money to this entity, now some of his money is being loaned for ribis ktsutza. It's being loaned to Jews for ribis. So l'chayri, he's a shutif in something that's a problem. Chuvas Melamed Lahayil, who is the groundbreaker on this, he deals with this issue. Can we say, all right, we're going to set up the company, and any loan, let's say, just to make it simple, 50% are Jews, 50% are Goyim, even 75% are Jews of investors, and 25% are Goyim. We'll say, look, we give out mortgages, or we give out loans. We do it to the public. We're public, open to the public. Most of the people are Goyim, some of them are Yidden. So we're going to arrange that whatever goes to the Goy is the Jew's money, and whatever goes to the Jew is the Goy's money. A Goy's allowed to lend money for a Jew beribis. A Jew's allowed to lend money for a Goy beribis. So let's make this arrangement, and we're in good shape. We have no problems. As long as we have more Goyish borrowers, enough Goyish borrowers to cover all the Jewish investors, dollar-wise, will be safe. That's the issue. So Breira here with Rabbi Kivega was talking in a case where they realized it was too late. It was Lachar HaMaisa. So Rabbi Kivega comes up with this chat. There's a concept of Yesh Breira. And when we had Yesh Breira, when I wrote the art scroll Erevin, we had a difficult time coming up with a translation for Breira. Our final form was retroactive designation, which means it's one of the simpler terms in the art scroll Gemaras, that it's designated retroactively. We say Ki'ilu I had made up originally that disarrangement. So the rule is by Darabonim we say this Kula. You could say it's designated retroactively. By Darais is not. So in Kivega's case, this is the Darabonim. You can't designate it retroactively. Finished. You can designate it retroactively. That's his kula. Comes out for Rabbi Kivega. It will be ribis deraisa, like a loan, the typical loan today. You can't do it retroactively. But 1 minute, Dr. Malamed Lahayel, you can't do it retroactively. But let's do it originally that way. Let's make arrangements originally. And the Malamed Lahayel draws up a contract, and the contract he draws up is a partnership agreement, where the partnership agreement states that all loans made to Goyim are from the Jew's money, all loans made to the Jew is from the guy's money. And he draws up an agreement, and that's the agreement which he says a person could rely on, and it's not retroactive, it's done that way in the first place, and everything is fine. That's the Malamed Lahayel's... What? So this arrangement is highly debated. There are two problems. One is the way the contract is written in the Malamed Lahayel. It's missing a big piece of the contract. I don't know why. I don't know the history of the book. I don't know if it's the printer's fault or the reprinter's fault. First of all, there's a big sakana that somebody ribbis is something where even if you first of all, ribbis is a specialty. It's a specialty area. Even Rabbanim, Tamidei Chachamim, you know, it's like Gittin, right? So I can be a big shot. I talk about Ribbis, I know a little more than someone else. Gittin, you know, I can't, if someone comes to me to write a guest, I tell them, go to a specialist. You have to go to somebody who writes Gittin. You know, so Ribbis is a specialty thing. It's a big sakana. People are going to go to the Malamed Lahayel, use the Heter, take out the contract as it's printed there, which is missing. It's just missing a piece. It's not as if the language is bad. A whole piece of the contract is missing. So what I did in the Ribbis book is I first of all translated it to English and I put in the missing piece. I explained in my footnote that you know, whoever is involved in the Sefer deals with Ribbis and quotes the Malamed Lahayel says clearly something is missing. It's not as if I came up with my thing. I printed it. However, this Kula itself is hotly debated. It's a very debated issue whether this is a heter or not, because it seems to be a legal fiction. If you're going to say it's a Jew's money and it goes to him, you're going to keep separate books for his loans and his loans, all right, then I guess everybody would agree it's good. But here, what the business is doing is saying, we don't even know who's a Jew. A guy comes to us, we don't put in a check off if you're a Jew, you know, there's no such thing on the check off box. All right, so we can tell. Sometimes his name is a Cohn or a Goldstein or a Stern, or it's a common name, which unfortunately nowadays you also don't know. And so sometimes but we don't know. We don't keep track.
Money is not butter.
So it's not money is not butter. So your money falls into my pocket. Not so therefore it became a hotly debated thing. But I basically put into the book is you should ask your Rav if you should use it. Don't use it unless under the guidance of a Rav. But it's there for the benefit of those who are doing it anyway, that at least they should have some type of a knife and heter. Yes?
Don't you have to fear a pair of the Rashi in such a case to get your money to somebody else?
It could be a tzirif of a pair of the Rashi if you satisfy the deal where the contract doesn't name the investor. In other words, who owns the corporation? If the investor does not have any ownership of the shares of the corporation, it probably would be a good serif of Rashi Shita. I'm not sure it's that way. At least the way it's drawn up, it's called shares. The investor has shares, in which case he's a partial owner in the corporation.
But the
at
the
any rate, this is, as I say, this is a side issue. People have to try to avoid it. There are ways in which it's mutter when a company is Rav Yehudim. Truth is, if you invest in Chase, you can say it's the same thing. Chase Manhattan lends money to Jews. But the way the companies are set up, basically any... certainly any publicly traded company, you know, any company that has a large number of investors, we call the entity on the shame of the rive of the investors. Now, it doesn't mean that a Jew could go into business with two Goyim and create an entity, and the Jew will say, okay, now it's a Goyish company, and because it's rive Goyim. It means a company which is publicly traded, which has faceless investors, so then you go according to rive Akum. But where a few people get together, it is a problem. What?
So if you had the same situation in Eretz Yisrael, what would the problem here?
Because it's Rav Yisrael there. Achinami. I've had this type of situation very often. I had one fairly recently. That's interesting. The guy, the fellow who called me, said, okay, I'm dissolving the company. You know, it's like, it's an interesting thing. Sometimes people are mice and nefesh to straighten out the Ilchus Ribbis things. I've been very impressed in Sephardic circles that there seems to be a big ema of Issa Ribbis. I can't speak for all of them. I have anecdotal evidence, but I must tell you, as far as big investors coming to me, it's been three quarters from the Sephardic community, and people who really are very be'ema and very respectful of the Surei Ribbis, and they want only to do things right, and it's a very important thing. I think there's a certain, maybe a lack of awareness of many business situations.
You said that most of them
Yeah, but the entity, the question is how to define the entity. It's true, I know how to define the entity,
but
an operator. He's talking about doing it in the first place, not retroactive.
So the brera is for the rabbanon. How could it be?
Brera is only when you realize too late and you want to do it lamafreya. Here we're talking to do lachetcha. Let's get back to the main issue of sifyut ches, which is charity, and the fact that charity could lend beribis to rabbanon. Okay, suddenly we have a new thing. When you start learning Hilchos Ribbis, you know, it's like Hilchos Shabbos. You read through, you want to get a quick knowledge in Hilchos Shabbos. You know, Chassanim, very often, they quickly order, you know, the Shabbos kitchen or, you know, Bava Kama, Mitzvah Bava Basra, they know. But, you know, they get married, their wife is not interested in the Shoshanoga Chassapara. She wants to know about the black. So quickly they order the Shabbos kitchen, and which is very good. They go through it. So is it Teres? It's Rabbanan. You know, when you're running through it, Teres, it's Rabbanan. Is it Mutter? It's Asr. Finished. So Hilchos Ribbis also. You start Hilchos Ribbis. You just want to know, is it Mutter or Asr? Finished. Here, suddenly, we have to become experts. If you deal with Mois Tzedakah, what's Ribbis Teresa? What's Ribbis Rabbanan? Now it makes a difference, Halacha L'maisa. So I have the authority to lend money for your Simon. I can do Ribbis Rabbanan. What is Ribbis Rabbanan? I run a gemach. I have gemach money, so I can invest the gemach money with Ribbis Rabbanan. What's the Rabbanan? What's the Raisa? So as you all know, the first rule of Ribbis Rabbanan, Ribbis Raisa, is Ribbis Ketzusa. Ribbis Raisa is only Ribbis which is set up at the time of the loan or at the time of the extension of the loan, where an obligation is created originally. Now, if that obligation is created originally, then the obligation makes it ribbis deraisa. So you lend me money for interest, that's ribbis deraisa. If you lend me money with no interest, you just lend me money, and then when I pay gratitude, I give you more money, that's ribbis derabbanan. So let's say I have a gemach. It's a common thing. Gemach lends money. It makes a $10,000 loan to someone. The person is very appreciative, comes back, he gives back the $10,000, and he makes a donation to the gemach. So is that an Issa Ribbis? It's Ribbis. It's Ribbis Rabbanan. It's not Ketzutza. It's only Ribbis Rabbanan. And therefore the Gemach is permitted to take the donation. No Shiloh. Even though by me, if I lent my money, it would be Ribbis. I couldn't take something more. But here the person pays back, even in the same check. He makes out a check, instead of for $10,000, he makes it out for $10,500, he gives a donation. No problem. It's not Ribis Tzutza. It wasn't made up originally. Ribis Drabanan for Tzedakah is Mutter. If originally the Gemach wants to say, all right, I'm only lending money if you pay back the Ribis, of course that's awesome. Here are two situations fairly common which are not so poshut at all. Let's say Gudnis Yisrael of Madison has a Gemach. We have a loan fund. Baruch Hashem. Originally, the rabbi took care of the loan fund. All the money disappeared. We gave it to an accountant to take care of the loan fund. All the money is there. So the money is there. So we'll have a shiur. Who do we lend money to? Somebody comes from South Dakota for a loan. We're going to lend the money. So we make up only members of the shul. It's a problem. What's the problem? If membership of the shul entails payments, because you have to be a member of the shul. It costs money to be a member of the shul. That means we're telling somebody who comes from a loan, you want a $10,000 loan, you have to give us your membership dues. Without membership dues, you're not eligible. One of the Agudas in Flatbush had such an arrangement years ago, and they became disturbed that it was Ribbis, so they called the my Chavrusa, not me, who was lending us Ribbis. Is it true? It's Ribbis? We only lend to members. So the truth is that it's not so posh. Pashtus seems to be a Ribbis problem. Because you're lending someone money only if he's a member. So someone's in the club will say, I want to be, say, are you a member? I'm not a member. All right, how much does it cost to be a member? Okay, I'll send in my membership. I'll come back. All right, now you let me be Ribbis. Now you let me for free loan? I'll give you a free loan. It's not a free loan. You have to pay membership. So what's a shul to do? What are you going to do? You don't want to, if you're going to start lending money to all of New York City, you're going to be out of money overnight. What are you to do? So there are two options. The shul could lend money to all its mishtalim, whether they pay membership or they don't. Every shul, there are people who do pay, there are people who don't pay. So there are some people, very often the people who borrow, can't afford to pay membership. So if they lend to only to them mishtalim, has nothing to do with the membership list, then it's fine. Then there's no catch. Or they could have a membership where a person has the option of becoming a member for free if someone wants. He can't afford to pay membership, so he also could become a member.
That option, I don't think the shuls go for that option.
I'm not so sure that they don't. If somebody can't afford, he can't afford. And at any rate, if such an arrangement is made, it's mutter. But again, if you don't hop right away, if you tell somebody, the only way is if you're a member, it's a problem. Now, if somebody wants to be Malamed Schus, you can argue. You could say, what do you mean, membership? It's not a donation. You're getting something for your membership. You're getting something. If I say, I'll only give you a loan, if you give me a dollar bill, and I'll give you a dollar bill back. That's not Ribbis. So you give me a dollar, I give you a dozen eggs. It's not Ribbis. So people could say, membership, it's not. You're getting something for it. That's not so poshut, especially in our circles. People dive into many shuls. Bob Dapka, he'd be a member in every shul. And the pashtus is that it's a problem of Ribbis Dereisa. If the only way you make a loan is if someone's a member, then that would seem to be a problem of Ribbis Dereisa. And it's something which is easy not to have.
There are other benefits to being a member. For example, to get the hall. If you get the hall,
there are other. The only way that argument is good is if you can prove that I'm giving the membership X number of dollars, I'm receiving in return a benefit of X number of dollars that has a market value, then one can make such an argument. It's not provable. It's a very ambiguous thing. People can go from shul to shul. I mean, look, Feivel Cohen holds that shul membership you can't take off of nice money because everyone's obligated to have a Beis HaKnesses. It's like buying an Esrig. So I remember when I davened by him, he said, shul membership, you can't take off meiser because you're obligated. It's a schar mitzvah. So if you live in a society where there's one shul in town and everyone's obligated to support a shul, then it's 100% there's no shaila. The way it is, beineinu, people daven where it's convenient. You know, before you go to sleep at night, you figure out which is the best minyan for me in the morning. I don't think that today, the way things are set up, that it is that way. If you have Neiron, you get a seat. The value, it's also hard to shots up exactly a market value. It should not depend. If the Gemach is set up that way, It's a problem in the way the Gemach sets it up. Now, it's true. If I have a friend who sends me Shlach Manas all the time, now I lend him money, he could continue sending. It's not Rivas. So if a person gives money anyway, he gives money every year, and now he borrows money, he gives money, it's not a problem. But for the Gemach to be set up that you have to be a member, that means you're telling someone who comes from a loan, you want a loan? Pay membership. And the Gemach can't be set up that way.
An only member.
Yes.
You have to be a member for a year. Now, a guy was going to think that in a year I'm going to ask for a loan, and that's stretching it.
It seems to me to be a problem. If there are payments that are required for a loan, it's a problem. Again, you can have the option of either allowing membership to people without payment, or restricting it to mispalalim. Or you know what?
They will let people know. I doubt that.
Yes.
It's a big shul in the community, and they're the only shul that has minyan every day. If you weren't a member, you couldn't have the yamim. You know,
so that's the one argument that could be made, is that the payment you're getting, like I said before, if I tell you I'll lend you money, give me a dollar, I'll give you a dozen eggs, so you could argue that that's not ribs. It's actually the last sif in Kuf Samach, which we're going to get to pretty soon, but it's not clear that there's a clear market value for membership, and that's why it's not a davar pashut. Tape libraries are not a problem. I'll tell you why. Book or a tape? No. Because when you borrow tapes, again, this is really the beginning of Hilchus Ribbis. There's she'ila and there's halva. In English, it's borrowing and lending. In Hebrew, it's she'ila and halva. I have this all the time. I borrow a car, can I give back more gears? The teretz is, if you borrow a car, you can give the guy $100. Because that's not a loan. It's not a halva. It's she'ila. If someone lends me a vehicle, I don't owe him money. I have to return that vehicle. If I'm returning the item I borrowed, I can rent it. I can pay rent. What is rent? You give me the car, I pay you rent, I return it. Any time the thing that's borrowed, or just about every time, the thing that's borrowed is returned be'en, that is she'ila, that's a shoyel, not a loiva, and it's a basic taich difference in Hebrew. In English, borrow, both of them are called borrowing. Borrowing a car, borrowing money. In Hebrew, there's halva, you borrow money, and there's she'ila, you borrow a car. And they're two different things. Now, if I borrow a dozen eggs, if I say I'm going to return the same dozen eggs, nobody would bother borrowing it for that. So then that's fine. You can pay for it. If I'm going to return a different dozen eggs, then that's halva. There's a case in halacha where a person wants to borrow $1,000, but not to use. He wants to borrow it, he wants to put it out on the table, he should look rich. His neighbors are coming over for a kiddush, he wants to have money all over the place. So he's borrowing money, laharais, it says, to show kilu he's rich. He's going, he wants to pull out of his pocket a wad of $100 bills, and he's going to return the same bills. So you're allowed to pay for that. You're allowed to rent money. You can do a renting money. Gemara says one Amira set up a rent-to-money business, and you want to rent the money, you return the same money. It's 100% mutter. As long as you obligate, I shouldn't say 100%, it's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in the case of the bill, but for a side reason. But you're allowed, halacha, it's really, it's technically mutter, you drop something, yes. And
any time frame, you have to return it also.
It doesn't matter the time frame. There's she'ila and there's halva, two different things.
The same bill?
If you made up to return the same exact bills. Let's say somebody borrows a coin collection. He's returned the same coin. So pashtus, you're allowed to return it. No, then it's a loan. It's different bills, then it's a loan. Yeah, and what I'm saying is just like you rent a car, you return the car. There has to be the same hundreds, the same bills, exactly the same bills. You're not going to spend it. You have no right to spend it.
I borrow.
We're limiting it to halva.
I borrow $1,000 from Rabbi. And when I return the $1,000, I say thank you so much. See, I didn't give you another penny. Why did I thank you so much? We said Rabbi.
That's it's a problem. Ribbis to Rabbanan, a ribbis to Varim. You're giving me back. Words.
Why can't we send him just the halva? Only deals with the kesef.
Any once there's a halva, you can't give me back anything. The question is it a halva or is it she'ila? And that's it's a common mistake that people don't have. And Sheila Halva are two different. Let's just get back here. So I told you, I was saying I have two Gemach Shailas. One Gemach Shaila is this Shaila with membership, which is certainly not a Dover Pashit. It's a Dover Shchiach. We have many Gemachs that have probably, I would guess that half the Gemachs, Shul Gemachs, have such an arrangement, and it's a problem. The second. It's not a problem. There's no loan. No. If you're a member and exchange for membership, you get a discount. There's no problem. There's no loan. It's only the Gemach that has the problem. The second Shaila is an interesting Shaila. A man goes to a Gemach and he borrows money from the Gemach. Then nobody talks about interest. Goes to the Gemach, he borrows it. At the time he takes the money, he's very appreciative. Very often he feels bad, he has to borrow. Tells the Gemach, you know, I appreciate it so much. When I pay this back, I'm going to give you a donation. He says at the time he takes the money, I'm going to give you a donation. It's not demanded of him. It's not required of him. But he says, at the time he takes the money, he says, I'm going to give a donation. The question is, does that create ribis ktsutza? Or it does not create ribis ktsutza. Why? Because when you say you're giving money to a tzedakah, you're obligated to. Amira l'gvaya k'vesira l'hediyat, the Rav says apply to tzedakah. So you're obligated to give it. So the question is, all right, if he says a set amount, he says a set amount. So he doesn't say a set amount, but I'm going to give a donation, means at least a shava pruta. So that means he's obligated to pruta, so it's already a ribis problem. So there's a Machne Ephraim in Simen Yudches who's Mesupik, had a look at this. It's really quite complicated. We're going to say, Amir Lekvayek, Amir Lehed, he says he promises to Tzedakah, it's really binding. But if it's an Aveira, it's not binding. Aveira is not binding because I said so. So it's not binding. So if it's not binding,
then
that means it's not Ribbis,
like
so then
the
I could give
it. It's like the Brachashah with a dining room. Now that it's not binding.
Now that it's a bigger problem, because once it's not binding, it should become binding. Because once it's not binding, it's not ribbis. So if it's not ribbis, so then I say I'll give money to tzedakah. If it's not binding on me, then I have to do it. The only problem is if it becomes an obligation. So if it's a donation, it's a difficult problem. The Machne Ephraim, not only he says it's a problem, I think he explains that it's a chumah lekan lekan. You know, sometimes you're mesupik, you say, okay, be machmir. Here, what are you going to do? You're caught between a rock and a hard place. Say, okay, I'll be machmir. I'll be machmir and do what? I'll be machmir and not pay. I might be over. And I'm here to look like a head. Neder, God will not do. Okay, Israel? I'll be machmir and pay. That might be ribis ktsutza, might be ribis deraisa. So you're really caught in a very difficult position. What do you do in such a case? You can't say, I'll be machmir and pay. You can't say, I'll be machmir and not pay. You're stuck. So my old eitzah, when someone has a problem, is you go to a friend, and you tell the friend, listen, he obligated himself, he's mesupik, he can pay, you pay for him. You give the money for him, and this is what I wrote in the book, that you go to a third party and let the third party pay. Now, when I was chasering, I'm mesupik. Does it work that way? If I make a neder, I'm going to give money to tzedakah. Let's say I make a neder. I have this old thing that when I go to a levaya, and they make a kel mole. The kel mole is bavur, and it's a big michshol. They say bavur shekol ha'imdim kan yitnu tzedakah v'adaskaras nishmasai. That's what they say. Kol ha'imdim kan yitnu. So, and the people say amen. So the halachi is amen is a neder. So it means if you're a levaya, they say bavur shiitnu tzedakah v'adaskaras nishmasai. So it's binding on you. It's a din neder that you have to give tzedakah b'adaskaras nishmasai. Now if you're not listening and you know what you're saying, amen to. I'm not sure how that works. Maybe it's even an umdina that you're not listening. But if you're one of the few who are listening and you say amen, you're obligated to. Sometimes they say bavur and they list out bavur shabnai, ubenbenai, uzakeda, v'chol ayukai the tzedakah. Like they list out everyone is making a neder. And they say amen. Amen, we learn out of a pasuk by Saita that amen is a neder. Nishba be'pi acherim. And people have to give. So I have this thing that, and if you give tzedakah later, that baras kares to shmasa is not good. You have to give baras kares to shmasa. So I have this thing that I go out, and there's usually plenty of people willing to provide opportunities. So I give, I take out a dollar or $2, and I give it for everybody who said, oh, I'm going to shove a puta for everybody, and that's like that. So I was besupik now. Is that really good enough? Is that good enough? I'm just wondering out loud. Let's say you make a neder that you're going to run around the block. So I say, you know what? I'll run around the block for you. It doesn't have to satisfy your neder. Your neder was that you're going to run around the block. I can't run around the block. Uh-huh. You make a neder, you're going to give tzedakah. So now I'm going to give tzedakah for you. So you could say, it's not the same as running around the block. There's something called din eved kanani. If someone gives money for me, it's kilo I gave the money. In lumdis, it's fine. Neder goes according to Lashem Adayadam. Someone makes a neder, I'm going to give tzedakah. Is it so pashut that someone else could give the money for him? I'm just wondering out loud if that's even a good eitzah. I don't know. Well, if he's giving, I'm not taking it away from him. If he wants to give it, he could give it. But still a mitzvah when he does it, it's still a mitzvah. The truth is, there's a machloikis, the Tazen Shach. The Hilchas Pidyon HaBen, there's a machloikis Tazen Shach. If there's a child who's a yosim, and it's time for his Pidyon HaBen, so who's mechuyav Pidyon HaBen? His father and him. His father's not alive. So I'm going to be paid to him. Sachin l'adam shalei b'fanav. So the Shach doesn't like it. The Shach says, you're taking away a mitzvah, like you say. The Chayokim, the Taz, I think it's the Taz, maybe it's the Ramah, says, no, if you're benefiting him financially, it's a schus. So they taka argue on this, the kuda that you're saying, I'm taking away a mitzvah. By tzedakah, I'm not really taking away the mitzvah. Because he can still give the tzedakah. But he can even give the government the tzedakah about Ashkarat Ishmasai. So I'm not sure I'm taking away a mitzvah. But I wonder if it's really a kiyum nidrei. Could be that it is, could be it's not. I wasn't eyeing into the technicality of it. But I'm getting sidetracked. Going back, the second Gemach Shaila is, if someone says, when he borrows money for Gemach, you know I'm going to give a donation to the Gemach, not a Dover Poshut, that might be Rebis Ktsutza, and it might very well be Osir. Really, the Gemach person should say, okay, loan's off. Want to do it again? We'll start all over. But going to loan this off. Yeah. What? How come it works by Erev Tavshilin? But you can be Zeicha for other people. Erev Tavshilin is a Drabanan. So, first of all, even if it will be Deraisa, the Rav is Zeicha, a chelik in the matzah, or in the cooked food, for everyone who lives in the tzchum. He's Zeicha de Acher. So they're Zeicha, they have ownership. That is no problem. Shaila is now. The Rav is making it, is saying that I want this to be an Erev Tavshilin for them. Manafshach. If they made their own Erev Tavshilin, so they're not part of mine. If they didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, so then it's a schus, a total schus. The only time it's a legitimate question is when they made an Erev Tavshilin, and before they cook the next morning, someone eats it. It's a problem. You take what do you use for Erev Tavshilin? You use an egg, there's no chashash, the kids are going to eat it. Besides, you take a chicken cutlet, and you take a chicken cutlet, you wrap it in aluminum foil, you make an Erev Tavshilin. You put it in the refrigerator, and the next day it's not there. You know, they were going to the refrigerator at night for a snack, and they found their chicken cutlet, and it's gone. It happens. So now, if it happened before Yom Tov, it's no problem, because you're Zeich with the Rav. Here, Ben Hashmashis, you don't want to be part of the Ravs. And now, what do you do now? So fortunately, it's a drabanan. By a drabanan yesh b'era. So retroactively, it can be included in the Erev, and then it works.
If the Gemach says, there's not enough meaning that the student for Rivers,
it's not true. If you hold Amir Levakim Sirla Hedi by Tzedakah, which I think most, the Ran in Kedushin says, I think most places can hold that way, that applies not only to Hegdish but even to Tzedakah, then Tzedakah could be Teveyim and Bezdin. The person could deny it, but if he tells the truth, there'll be Teveyim and Bezdin. There'll be Bezdin, there'll go and be Yared L'Nechasov. Bezdin will make him pay. It's a neder. How could they be Meichel? Gemach can't be Meichel. Gemach has no authority to be Meichel. Yeah.
The interest doesn't pay for the gemach. Who would the interest go to? Let's say a little bit ksusa. You pay interest. Where does the interest go to?
The tzedakah.
So why should?
That's why Ribbis the Rabbanon is mutter. The Ribbis the Reis is still awesome.
But why is it doesn't go to anybody in particular?
Ribbis the Reis is still awesome. It's Ribbis the Reis is awesome.
Somebody's another guy. It's like for.
Understand?
They say they recommend when they give the loan, they recommend that you give a donation, but there's no fee.
I would guess that that's not Ribbis the Reis, so it wouldn't be a problem.
Rav said before that it was a tzedakah, and it's a little more mangled here, Ribbis the Rabbanon. So if someone goes to a gemach, they borrow money, and then they give it to me, thank you
for
the loan, is that also Ribbis the Rabbanon?
The thank you issue is a machlaik, as I mentioned, ribbis devarim, and thank you is an issue. You're certainly allowed to say thank you to the gabbai and the gemach, because he's not lending his money. He's lending, as a matter of fact, you can send flowers to the gabbai and the gemach. He's not lending money. He's just the apotropos, not his money.
So you can say thank you.
Yeah.
We should have guidelines
for
gemachs.
There's a chapter in the ribbis book called Starting a Gemach.
No more gemach.
Has all the gemach rules collected. So if you want, you can. You don't need updated, it's written perfectly. There's no need for updates, unless the IRS laws change. They are. It says there that the state deduction is $600,000. That changed. It's ready. Was it a million or 1.1? So there are things that have to be updated.
But
recommended donation is not ribbis ketzutza, it's mutter. Yeah. All right, there's something called a charitable trust, actually two types of charitable trusts, which are make for very interesting shilas. What happens every time the IRS or Congress passes a law, lawyers pore over it and look for ways to find legal ways of manipulating the law to do things, and after a while it becomes legal. You would think that it's against the spirit. There's something called a charitable trust, actually two types of charitable trusts, which are make for very interesting shilas. What happens every time the IRS or Congress passes a law, lawyers pore over it and look for ways to find legal ways of manipulating the law to do things, and after a while it becomes legal. You would think that it's against the spirit, but it doesn't matter. If it's within the framework of the law, it's mutter. There's something, a very popular way of getting a large tax deduction, somebody who has a big windfall in a single year, there's something called the charitable remainder trust, which works as follows. You ask why people do it. People do it basically for the tax deduction. If they're in a situation where they have a big windfall in a single year, and this is advertised. There are charities that advertise it. All the big charities have somebody who sets it up. Charitable remainder trust works that you make a donation to the charity. Let's say, just to let our imagination go, you give $1 million to the charity. And we're imagining already, let it be $10 million. Right? You give $10 million to the charity. So, 1 minute. not so fast. I'm giving $10 million. The way it works, the charity tells you, we guarantee you 5% a year. You're going to get, for your $10 million, you're going to get every year $500,000. I'm going to send you a check, $500,000 a year, guaranteed. What's the catch? The catch is that this only continues as long as you live. When you die, all of the $10 million goes to the charity. That's the arrangement in what's called the charitable remainder trust. There's an opposite, the charitable lead trust, which is not so popular, which works the other way around, where the interest goes to the charity and the keren comes back to the, in other words, you give $10 million to the charity for 5 years, the charity has it for 5 years, they earn money, and then at the end of the 5 years you get it back. There the tax deduction is only the value. They don't give you a tax deduction for $10 million. They give you a tax deduction in neither case. The IRS has charts in which they give you whatever the value of the loan value of the money is. But the popular one is a charitable remainder trust, which you'll listen, if you listen to the radio very often you hear, especially December time or April time, you hear them advertising that speak to our consultants and they'll exploit you a way to do it. The question is, what is happening when you give $10 million to a tzedakah and they give you $500,000 a year? Are you lending money to the tzedakah or are you gifting money to the tzedakah? There are two ways to look at it. The IRS actually looks at it as some type of a hybrid of the two. You don't get a deduction for a $10 million gift. You get a deduction. They have charge, depends on your life expectancy and how they deduct it. How does Halacha look at it? Does Halacha look at it as a gift or does Halacha look at it as a loan? So 1 minute. Let's try a Mamon Nafshach. Let's see. If it's a gift, there's no problem. I can give you a gift and you give me a gift. No problem. If it's a gift, then there's no Ribishah. Elamai, it's a loan. Let's say it's a loan. Now, you're like, it's not a loan. I'm not getting the 10 million back. Let's say, argument's sake, it's a loan. As long as I'm alive, it's not their money. It's I'm the one earning the profit from the money. Let's say it's a loan. So someone gives $10 million to tzedakah, he's getting $500,000 a year. There's no shaila that it's okay, provided that he doesn't live more than 20 years. Why? Because in the first 20 years of this arrangement, what's he getting? He lent, you say it's a loan of $10 million. All right, so he lent $10 million, he got back $500,000, no shaila. He lent $10 million, he got back $1 million, no problem. For the 20 years that this continues, there is no shaila because he's only giving $10 million, getting $10 million. So manashach. If it's a gift, it's a gift. If it's a loan, so manashach. If it's a loan, I'm not getting more than I gave. The shaila is in year number 21. In year 21, if it's a loan, it appears to be a ribis problem. If you hold that it's a loan. If you hold that it's a gift, so what do you do now? Let's say it's a gift. I gave $10 million, and I'm getting back over time. We had a case in the Pisrei Tshuva, Simon Kuf Samach here, Sivkot Nehei, near the beginning, where the Pisrei Tshuva brought an Eitzah someone had. I'm not going to lend Beribis. I give you a gift of $10. You give me back a gift in a year of $12. It's a gift. So we said that that's not a gift. If I obligate myself, you give me a gift, I give you a gift. So then that, in effect, is a loan. So that, again, you can say here it's different. Here the tzedakah is betting I'm not going to live 20 years. Maybe.
There's no guarantee.
Oh, okay, 1 second. So if it would seem that if the person lives beyond the time and he makes more money, then it would seem that there is a problem. However, there are two possible heterim. First of all, Rav Meisha's corporation had to reply to it. Rav Meisha's corporation had to have nothing to do with the word corporation. It said if there's no personal liability, then there's no issue. Here, on the $10 million, there is no personal liability. It's only the charity that stands behind it. No one's going to do it with some small charity that may or may not disappear, especially if they have an incentive to disappear. You know, they have obligations. So right away, you have Rav Meisha's heter. Now, Rav Meisha's heter, okay, it's a heter. I mentioned to you that Rav Meisha's heter is a machlaikis, and therefore it's good to use a heter. Here, there are two ways of setting up a charitable remainder trust. One is where they guarantee you 5% a year, finished, which is the most popular case. There is an arrangement where they only give you the percentage if they make that profit on an investment. In other words, you're not guaranteed the 5%. You give them the $10 million, and some of them you can tell them where to invest it, some of them you can't. And I think it's called a uni trust. It's called the charitable remainder uni trust, where you are unified with them, and you tell them where to invest it. That would seem to be an ISCA arrangement. And it would seem to me, I'm not a bucky in the law, not a bucky in ribbis, I'm not a bucky in the law, but it would seem that that's an ISCA arrangement. I'm going through an investment situation with them, and it would seem that that would be mutter, being that there's a remesha to rely on anyway. I think a person could rely on it. But this is basically the breakdown of a charitable domain. A charitable lien trust is not a shayla of ribbis at all. A charitable lien trust is, I give the tzedakah $10 million. They, whatever interest they earn, they keep, and they give me the $10 million back after X number of years. Basically, I'm giving them a pekudin. I'm giving them $10 million to use as they see fit and to give back. Now, that's similar to people, we had people when the big independence tumult was going on, where people, if they had money in the bank, so they borrowed money. They borrowed money. As long as it was a pekudin, I have a bank account, and it's a private bank. People, and I have a right to buy shares based on how much money I have in the bank. So people went, they found someone who's got $20,000 in the bank, said, $20,000, you're not going to get many shares. I'll give you $1 million, put it into your bank account, I'll be able to buy many more shares, and I want a chelik in it. Is that ribbis? I'm giving you $1 million. You're putting it into your bank account, you're giving it back. So everyone was calling when the independence tumult was going on, what's the thing? The halacha is that that's not ribbis. Because you're not giving me $1 million. I'll say, oh, you put $1 million in my bank. That's nice of you. I wanted to buy my son a house. No, you're giving me $1 million as a pekudin. I can't do what I want with it. All I could do is a certain thing with it, and then I have to return $1 million. That's a pekudin. In the case of the charitable lien trust, also it has different forms. There are certain situations where actually the person giving the money can make a percentage. The charitable lien trust works two ways. Either you give them $10 million, they make all the interest, you get it back at the end. Or you give it to them, and they make a designated amount of interest, let's say 5% a year. And let's say they make 7%, then the person who gave the money gets 2%. Either way, a charitable lien trust, there's no loan, and it's mutter b'tzad hilchus ribbis. I spoke this over with the Rav Zilberberg from Muncie. He's one of the early experts in ribbis before it was popular. He wrote a sefer v'chay achicha imcha regarding these inyanim. I once spoke with him at some aguda business. They have these days where they have these business forums. I'll tell you, the businessmen who come, if they can remember everything they heard in that one day, and they should become Gedalei Ador, because if they do that every day, they'll know a lot. I mean, you know, you sit there, same way I sat there with him, and I asked him then what he felt about the charitable lien trust, and he felt it was okay, and it seems that it's okay. So these two charity arrangements are good. So basically, this is, we learned today just this one sif, sif yud ches, this arrangement. I should remind you, the people will tell you, the shach avad says ein lahakol. He says Ramas is not even lahakol. Shach says b'kamakum sheisi loy isi min exact. He says what meaning lahakol? I never heard of this. So I mentioned to you last week the Nadi Yehuda, which is quoted in the Pischei Tshuva Chaf, who says loy isi. Okay, the shach didn't see it. I saw it. He says I do it all the time, and all the paiskim are makel that tzedakah shel tzedakah body, you're allowed to lend beribis sheinik.